Our scripture reading this evening is taken from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 36. With Jeremiah chapter 35, we have stepped back, as it were, in time from the siege of Jerusalem before its fall in the days of King Zedekiah, back to the days of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah. And in this chapter we go back even further to the early years of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, the fourth year of Jehoiakim. So Jeremiah chapter 36. Now it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take a scroll of a book, and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel, against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah even to this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the adversities which I purpose to bring upon them, that everyone may turn from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote on a scroll of a book, at the instruction of Jeremiah, all the words of the Lord which he had spoken to him. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am confined, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. You go therefore and read from the scroll which you have written at my instruction, the words of the Lord, in the hearing of the people in the Lord's house, on the day of fasting. And you shall also read them in the hearing of all Judah who come from their cities. It may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord, and everyone will turn from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord has pronounced against this people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading from the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. Now it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem, and to all the people who came from the cities of Judah to Jerusalem. Then Baruch read from the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah the son of Shaphan the scribe, in the upper court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the hearing of all the people. When Micaiah the son of Gemariah the son of Shaphan heard all the words of the Lord from the book, he then went down to the king's house into the scribe's chamber. There all the princes were sitting, Elishama the scribe, Deliah the son of Shemaiah, Elnathan the son of Achbor, Gemariah the son of Shaphan, Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared to them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the hearing of the people. Therefore all the princes sent Jehudi the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, to Baruch, saying, Take in your hand the scroll from which you have read in the hearing of the people. So Baruch the son of Neriah took the scroll in his hand and came to them. And they said to him, Sit down now and read it in our hearing. So Baruch read it in their hearing. Now it happened when they had heard all the words that they looked in fear from one to another and said to Baruch, We will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, Tell us now, how did you write all these words? At his instruction? So Baruch answered them, He proclaimed with his mouth all these words to me, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then the princes said to Baruch, Go and hide, you and Jeremiah, and let no one know where you are. And they went to the king into the court, but they stored the scroll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and told all the words in the hearing of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to bring the scroll, and he took it from Elishama the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the hearing of the king, and in the hearing of all the princes who stood beside the king. Now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month, with a fire burning on the hearth before him. And it happened, when Jehudi had read 3 or 4 columns, that the king cut it with the scribe's knife, and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor did they tear their garments, the king or any of his servants who heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan, Delaiah, and Gemariah implored the king not to burn the scroll, but he would not listen to them. And the king commanded Jeremiel, the king's son, Sariah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdeel, to seize Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. Now, after the king had burned the scroll with the words which Baruch had written, at the instruction of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, Take yet another scroll, and write on it all the former words that were in the first scroll which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, has burned. And you shall say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Thus says the Lord, You have burned this scroll, saying, Why have you written in it, the king of Babylon will certainly come and destroy this land and cause man and beast to cease from here? Therefore thus says the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, He shall have no one to sit on the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out to the heat of the day and the frost of the night. I will punish him, his family, and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring on them, on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and on the men of Judah, all the doom that I have pronounced against them. But they did not heed. Then Jeremiah took another scroll, and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote on it at the instruction of Jeremiah, all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And besides, they were added to them many similar words. May God bless the reading of his most holy and precious word. Our text this evening is found in the chapter that we read, Jeremiah chapter 36 and verse 32. Then Jeremiah took another scroll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote on it at the instruction of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And besides, there were added to them many similar words. We have here one of those rare glimpses of the writing of the scriptures. And also we have an example of a man who treated God's holy word with utter contempt. A man who had the word of God brought to him, read to him, and who treated it as rubbish to be burned. It is a solemn chapter, an enlightening chapter. Chapter that speaks to us of the best book of all, the Bible. God has spoken. We see, therefore, first of all, the reading of Scripture. Secondly, we see the reception of Scripture. And thirdly, the rejection of Scripture. First of all, we see the reading of Scripture because the Scriptures are written to be read. One definition of a bestseller that has been offered is a book that everybody wants to have read, but nobody wants to read. A wise man said, the wisest man of all, of the making of many books, there is no end. And the vast majority of the books that flow forth from the presses of this world flow forth into deserved oblivion. But there is a book. A book that is written, that is lasting and of great worth. There are some books that last for many, many years, last for decades and centuries. But there is one book that will outlast them all, and that is the book of the Word of God, because the Word of God stands forever. Heaven and earth, Jesus says, shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The word of God stands forever. And God has spoken. It is notable to read the giving of the word here. God speaks to Jeremiah saying, "Take a scroll of a book and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel, against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day." So this is everything that Jeremiah had spoken up to the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Judah. And it is God who says, write. It is not man who says, write. It is not that Jeremiah gets an idea suddenly, I know I'm going to write down these words. It doesn't seem that Jeremiah thought about writing at all until God said to him, write. There had been prophets before Jeremiah, we think particularly of Elijah and Elisha, who had been primarily men who spoke. As far as we know, Elijah and Elisha did not write anything down. Their words are recorded by others. But they were speakers for God. The prophet is a speaker for God. But it does not follow from that the words are not to be written down. Jeremiah may well have thought, my work is to speak, as it was, until God said to him, write. Which point his work became both to speak and to write, or rather to have what he spoke written, because again, as we find with the New Testament, it is written not by Jeremiah himself, but by Baruch the son of Neriah. It's written by a scribe, somebody with nice, neat handwriting. Many, many people in the ancient world, if you were anybody important in the ancient world, you could read. If you were a noble, you could read. A priest would read. But not everybody who can read can write. And not everybody who can read and write a little bit can write in a way that somebody else can read it. Scribes were extremely important in the ancient world. If you had two merchants, well, the merchant has to be able to read the bill in front of him. But on the other hand, he doesn't necessarily have to be able to write it out himself. He can get a professional to write it out for him. And it would seem that Baruch here is a man with good handwriting. He's a man who is trained to take dictation, as scribes were. And Baruch wrote at the instruction of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken to him. What Baruch wrote were not the words only of Jeremiah. They were indeed the words of Jeremiah. Jeremiah spoke them. But they were the words of Almighty God. We are reminded of the words of the Apostle Peter in his first epistle. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah may be speaking, but Jeremiah is not speaking his own ideas or even his own words in the sense, as Peter says, that the prophecy doesn't come by private interpretation. It's not the prophet has a feeling and then has to put the feeling into his own words, but God gave the word. God spoke. God commanded it to be written. How different is the history of the Quran? The Quran was written down because a man had the idea that unless it was written down, this oral document that was repeated by Muhammad's followers would be lost. But God said, write the Bible. Because it's not the word of a man, it's the word of God. And it is a word that is there to be read. It is to be read, and it is to be read in public. It is to be spoken to others. You see, Jeremiah wrote the word. He's commanded to write the word so that it may be read to the people in the temple, in the house of the Lord. Baruch has to go and do it because Jeremiah, for some reason, is confined. Now, we're not told why he was confined. There's a number of reasons. He might have been unwell. He might have been in a state of ceremonial uncleanness. There were various things that could happen, including touching a dead body. So, for example, if a family member or a friend had died, then he, going to the funeral, attending to the corpse, that might lead to him not being able to go into the temple. He was confined for some reason. He may have been confined because the last time he went up to the temple, he preached a blistering sermon that called the people to repentance, and he had been placed under house arrest for doing it. There's various reasons why he might have been confined, but the point is, he was confined. He couldn't go to the house of the Lord. The preacher was bound, even as the Apostle Paul was bound in prison, but the Word of God is not bound. The Word of God was not confined. The Word of God could go forth through Baruch. And the Word of the Lord is to be spoken in public, spoken to the people there in the temple. Now, of course, we do not live in ancient Judah, in that society where the law of God was the law of the land. We don't have a temple in that sense. But the temple was the place where the people went up to worship. And these people, although they were officially, nominally God's people, they had forgotten him. And therefore God sent his word, and he sends his word to condemn here. This is a word that comes condemning. A word that speaks of God's wrath that is to come. God's word includes God's law. And God's law is given to conclude all under sin. But the law is given with a gracious purpose. Because, you see, God speaks these words of condemnation, and he says this: it may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord, and everyone will turn from his evil way. The word is preached, the law is preached, to bring people to repentance, to bring conviction of sin. The law is preached that people may see they are guilty, lost, and undone, and that they may repent, and that they may be saved. The law comes and says with John the Baptist, flee from the wrath to come. And so the law drives men to cry out, what must I do to be saved? So we see the reading of the word. And the word is read twice. It's read in the fifth year of Jehoiakim as well as in the fourth year. It goes forth. And so we see the reception of the word, secondly, the reception of the word. It was read in the temple. It was read to everybody. God's word is to be declared to all the world. That's why the scriptures have been translated into every language, that everyone may hear the word of God in their own tongue. There's a very small number of languages that have not got a translation of the Bible in their own language. And they are these little languages, important for those who speak them. But still they are little compared to the languages that many, many people speak. God's word is translated, is being translated, because God would have the world hear his word. But not everybody who hears the word responds in the same way. There were many in the temple, but it was Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, who heard and went and told others. Shaphan, the secretary, was a devout man. Shaphan the scribe, and he had his children and his grandchildren, and they had been brought up from the days of the prophet Isaiah to hear the word of the Lord. And this godly young man, Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, he hears the word. And his response is immediately to go and to tell other scribes. He goes to the scribe's chamber. It's quite probable, given that his ancestor was a scribe, he too was one. And to share with the other leaders, the princes. Now, of course, princes here doesn't mean that they were sons of the royal house. That's not the way the Bible uses the term. It means that they are the leading nobles, the leading men of the nation. And Micaiah told these people, these leaders, God has spoken. The word of God has been read in the temple, and we must listen to it. Micaiah is a man who heard the word of God and responded to it and brought it to the attention of these other men. And we see these other men listen to it. They heard him talk about the word of God, and they sent for Baruch, saying, come and read the word of God to us. This is the right response to the word of God. Let us hear the word. Let us receive the word. And they heard the word, and they looked in fear from one to another. They were affected by the word. They felt a condemnation of the word, but they knew that this was a right condemnation. And also what the correct response to feeling the condemnation of the word is. There are those who hear the condemnation of the word and they turn away from the word. But these said, we must hear. We will surely tell the king of all these words. And they carefully ask Baruch, how did the words come to you? How did God bring these words? And he gives the instruction. He proclaimed them with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. The word of God is written that it may be read, and it is read that it may be responded to. And here we have those who received the word of God. They received it as the word of God. They didn't challenge the word. They didn't go and say, well, okay, this is what Jeremiah says. Are you sure that's what God said through Jeremiah? They certainly did not say with the serpent in the garden, has God really said? But they said, the king must hear this. We will surely tell the king. But also they recognize that not everybody would receive the word as they had. Now, Jehoiakim was the son of Josiah. This is very important because Josiah was the king when they found the book of the law in the temple, when they were restoring the temple. We find this is recorded for us in 2 Kings. 2 Kings and chapter 11. We have that record. I have the wrong reference again. Never mind. We find in 2 Kings, in any case, the record of how the word of God was found in the temple. And it was brought to the king, brought to King Josiah, and King Josiah responded to the word of God. He heard God's word, and we find it is recorded for us indeed in 2 Kings chapter 22. That when the king, 2 Kings 22:11, that explains the mistaken reference in my notes. That's where the 11 comes from. 2 Kings 22 and verse 11. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Achbor the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Isaiah, servant of the king, saying, "Go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us." He responded. He saw the wrath of God was against them. And what did he do? He humbled himself. He repented. He tore his clothes and wept before the Lord. And it is recorded of him in 2 Kings 23 and verse 25. "Now before him there was no king like him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Nor after him did any arise like him." That was Josiah. That was the father's response. And yet they were afraid that Jehoiakim would not respond the same way. They received the word. They acted on the word. And they acted on it primarily by sharing it with others. But they said that Baruch and Jeremiah were to hide. They knew the king and they knew him all too well. And so we come to our third point, the rejection of the word. The princes had a sanctified realism, we might say. They said the king must hear the word of God. The fact that someone is going to be offended by the word of God is no reason to keep them from hearing it. The word has its effect. The word does what the word will do. But at the same time, they took great care to make sure that Baruch and Jeremiah would not suffer as a result of the king's wickedness. Because, again, these were men who were godly men. They understood that the commandment, "You shall not kill," also means that we should seek to do all we can to protect life, even as they sought to protect Baruch and Jeremiah. And so the word was brought to the king. And we see, first of all, how the king rejected the word. You feel sorry for poor Jehudi here. Jehudi is asked to read the word of God. And he opens the scroll. Of course, they don't have books like we have. It's a scroll, and the scroll has to be wound round a couple of sticks. And what you do as you read the scroll is you read it scrolling along. And he read it in the hearing of the princes who stood before the king. There they are in the winter house. It's winter, it's cold, it gets chilly up in Jerusalem. Jerusalem's quite high up, gets chilly there in the winter. And there's a fire, nice, hot, warm fire blazing on the hearth. And as Jehudi is reading, the king whips out a penknife and slices away what he's read. And everyone is silent. And the people around the king are not like the people who sent Jehudi. They're not like the princes who heard the word from Baruch. None of them are horrified at this. Jehudi will be. But everybody else in the room seems to think this is a great joke. The king certainly thinks it's a great joke. "Go on reading," he says. And Jehudi reads, and again the knife flashes until the whole scroll has been read and everything cast into the fire. And the king laughs. The word of God to him is a game. It's a play. It's nothing. But Elnathan, Deliah and Gemariah are imploring him, "Don't do this, your majesty. Remember your father. Don't do this." But he goes on mocking and laughing. He would not listen to them. And he would not listen to them because he would not listen to the word of God. Oh yes, it was read out loud. Oh yes, he heard every word of it. But he didn't truly listen to it because he paid no attention to it. In the same way, he heard them protesting and crying out not to burn the scroll, but he didn't listen to them. And here's a fearful thing, because here is a man who didn't say, "Oh, don't read it out of my sight." Here's a man who heard the word of God and didn't listen. And with a high hand, he destroyed God's word. With a high hand, he rejected it. This is not a man who is ignorant. This is even a man, of course, who had the most godly father you could have asked for. That's what the Book of Kings tells us. A prince with a godly father, but he didn't care for the word of God. He rejected the word of God. And then he sent his thugs to seize Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. Having destroyed the word as he thought he would destroy the prophet and the writer of the word. But God hid them. God protected them. God keeps his word. It's an amazing thing to look at the way God has kept his word through the ages. From kings and emperors. From those who have rejected it and sought to destroy it. From atheists and Muslims and others. God has protected his word and he will go on keeping his word. The king rejected the word of God. Ah, but the king doesn't get the last word, does he? Because the word of God rejected the king. The rejection of the word isn't so much the rejection of the word by the king, but the rejection of the king by the word. Because, as our text reminds us, then Jeremiah took another scroll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote on it, all at the instruction of Jeremiah, all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And besides, there were added to them many similar words, and we have them all. That's the book of Jeremiah. That's the book we have before us. And the word says to the king, first of all, God speaks and says, take another scroll and write on it all the former words. Oh, the king can destroy the first scroll, but another scroll comes forth. And the scroll speaks to the king. Thus says the Lord, why have you burned the scroll? Saying, why have you written in it, the king of Babylon will certainly come and destroy this land and cause man and beast to cease from here? Because apparently the king hadn't cottoned on to the reality that the reason that Jeremiah had these words written in the book is that's what God said. Why have you written this? Because God said it. Why have you written this? Because God is calling you to flee from the wrath to come. Why does the Bible contain condemnation of sin? Because God calls people to flee from the wrath to come. Because God has provided a saviour from sin. Why have you written this? I don't like it. God doesn't ask whether people like it or not. I remember some years ago in Chesterfield, seeing a sign outside a church there. God is not politically correct. God is correct. That's the point. God doesn't care about our feeling unhappy with what he says. God cares rather about people being damned. God cares about truth. And truth can be a pretty unforgiving thing, but God is forgiving to all those who repent and believe his gospel. This is the great tragedy of Jehoiakim. He's a man who despised the word of God, and so he made absolutely sure that every condemnation, every doom in the book came to pass. He made sure that he was condemned. Now, he himself died in his bed. His son reigned for 3 months before being removed by the king of Babylon. And at some point, probably with the final fall of Jerusalem in the days of Zedekiah, it seems that old Jehoiakim was dragged out of his grave and the body was just thrown away as though it were rubbish. Jehoiakim treated the word of God as rubbish. The result was that Jehoiakim himself was treated as rubbish. He was cast out. His family indeed did cease from holding the throne. The punishment came upon them. And God says, because he's despised the word, because he's rejected the word, he is rejected. Because ultimately, God's word doesn't come to human beings saying, will you accept me or not? Ultimately, God's word isn't looking for affirmation from people. But God's word comes with its command. It comes with the law that condemns everybody. And it comes also with the gospel that speaks salvation to all who repent and believe. God's word isn't looking for human affirmation. God's word isn't looking for humans, whether they be learned or unlearned, to come and say, yes, we approve this word. God's word comes speaking. God speaks. Those who reject the word are rejected by the word. And as for the word itself, the word endures. The word continues. Jehoiakim was cast out and rejected. But the word of God has free course. Just like King Herod. Herod rejected God's word. He rejected God's glorious and holy word. And Herod was eaten by worms, but the word of God had free course and was glorified. God speaks. And to reject God's word does not harm God in the slightest. But those who reject his word find themselves rejected. Oh, but those who believe his word. This world is passing away and all that it desires, but he who does the will of God abides forever. This is the word of life. This is the word that brings light and life to all. A word that is full of grace. The law indeed warns. The gospel gives salvation from sin. The law declares God's condemnation of sin. And the law has its work, but we see that the gospel says Christ has died for sinners, that he bore our sins, that he died for us. The gospel is the fulfillment. He was despised and rejected by men. So those who have despised and rejected the word of God can find salvation through Christ, the living word, who was despised and rejected, but he has borne our sins. He has carried our sorrows. The Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was cast out, raised up on a cross outside Jerusalem, cast out that we who have despised his word might be brought in. That we might be cleansed, that we might be renewed, that we might be presented before him. The word of God is that casket that contains the Lord Jesus Christ, that brings salvation to those who hear, or that we may hear his word, that we may hear the word of the Lord and know not only its condemnation for our sin, but its pardon, its grace, and its forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Indeed, there are added to this book of Jeremiah many similar words, and all are given that we may learn of God, or that he may speak to us, or that we may embrace his word. Oh, may he bless us indeed through his word, for Christ's sake. Amen.